Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, and we'll read from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 25, beginning to read at verse 31 to the end of the chapter. Where Jesus speaks of his second coming on the clouds of heaven. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was ahungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. While we will consider much of this chapter, much of this passage that we've read together, let me reread verse 31 and 32 for our text this afternoon. 31 and verse 32. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And let us take that together with what our Heidelberg Catechism teaches us in Lord's Day 19. I was asked if possible to preach a catechism sermon, and I'm always happy to try and fill that, especially in vacant congregations. Lord's Day 19, we'll read all three questions and their respective answers, but you understand that I'll deal especially with question 52 this afternoon, question and answer 52. Question 50 and 51 have been especially remembered in the Ascension and Pentecost. And then it looks forward in question and answer 52 to his return on the clouds of heaven. And after that, let us sing from Psalter number 13. Psalter number 13, stanza 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Why is it added and sitteth at the right hand of God? because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. What profit is this glory of Christ our head unto us? First, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us his members, and then that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecutions with uplifted head I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. Thus far. Dear congregation of St. George, sometimes when children are playing together and they are imagining things, they ask, what if this happened? What then? I think we all ask such questions. What if I'm late for work? Or what if I'm in an accident? Or what if I fail my exam? Or maybe children in school, when you're doing something in class that you're not supposed to, but the teacher is absent anyways, what if the teacher came in and saw us? Or what if the principal came? Now, sometimes the things that we were afraid of or imagined may never happen. But this afternoon, we're brought face to face with the question not what will happen if Christ returns, but what will happen when Christ returns. And that's what we hope to listen to this afternoon. When Christ comes to judge, we'll see, first of all, it's a sure coming. Secondly, we'll hear of the separation at his coming. And thirdly, the seeking of his coming. When Christ comes to judge, first of all, it's a sure coming. Yes, this afternoon, dear congregation, we come to that one event that is yet to come. The Lord Jesus returning on the clouds of heaven. The other events mentioned in the Apostolic Creed, for instance, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, have all taken place already. But the second coming of the Lord Jesus has not yet happened. But it will happen. It's a sure coming. No, I know the world does not believe it. The world doesn't reckon with it. But the world will see one day that it was mistaken. It will see that it was mistaken on many things, also on this. And that's why we do well to take heed to the Word of God and listen to what the Bible says. For when we listen to what the Bible says, then it tells us time and again that Jesus is coming again. I suggest that we turn to a few places of Scripture to confirm this in our own minds. And I refer you, first of all, to Matthew 24 and 25, where the Lord Jesus speaks of the end times, the foreshadowing of the end times, as in the destruction of Jerusalem, and the signs of the end times. And Jesus makes constant references to watch and be on the alert, for ye know not the hour when our Lord shall come. You can't miss it. References to Christ's second coming. Let's start in Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Or verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Or the next chapter, Matthew 25, verse 19, where he tells the parable of the talents. And then in verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And we don't only find this second coming of Christ taught in the Gospels by the Lord Jesus, but we find that also in the epistles, for instance, in Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, where Paul is writing most likely his last letter to his spiritual son Timothy, and he comes to the fourth chapter, and he writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Or if we turn to the last book of the Bible and then the last chapter of that last book of the Bible, there even we hear three times the Lord Jesus telling his apostle and therein also his church, Revelation 22 verse 7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. I think that supplies us with enough proof of the certainty of Christ coming again. He shall come again. I know people don't plan for this. I know people don't prepare for this. They make many plans for many things. They make preparations for summer vacation. They make preparations to attend college and university. They make plans for post-secondary education and for careers, but they don't plan on this. And some, even when they hear of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, mock it. They don't believe it, and they scoff at it. After all, they say, it's been so long since he said it, and it hasn't happened. Well, we meet with such people also in the days of the New Testament, like in Peter's day, that when he wrote his second letter, chapter 3, apparently there were those too who said it, Where is it now? Where is the promise of his coming? It seems like God doesn't keep his word. But Peter says, remember, don't forget that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. He's saying there our perception of time is different than God's perception of time. Let me give an illustration. It can be that when a family goes on a long car journey, as some of you maybe plan to do this vacation period, and maybe the family hasn't gone all that far, but sometimes it's only minutes or a short time after they've left that the child asks, Are we there yet? You see, a child's understanding of the trip and of the time is far different than mom and dad's understanding of the trip and the time. That's but a small comparison. But you understand, there can be different understanding of time. And if that's how it is between mom and dad and a child, how much different between us, mere creatures, from the Creator, from the eternal God who has been without beginning and without end. Peter says that. Plus, Peter says, the Lord is showing his grace and patience. Remember, he's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. Just like in the days of Noah, Peter says, those wicked days where God was going to punish the world with a flood, judgment was coming, but it took 120 years before it actually came. It's a long time, you might say. Yes, but it showed God's patience. But the flood did come, and the earth was destroyed. And so it will be with Christ's second coming. People may have thought we can get away with it. We can get away with our sin. We can get away with our unbelief. But the day of reckoning is at hand. Christ is coming. After all, he has said it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He is coming. And what will he do then? Well, he will come to judge. He will come to separate. That's our second point. Yes, the separation that is coming. And for this, I wish to look at the passage that we read together from Matthew 25, where the Lord Jesus speaks of that judgment day. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come. You see, it doesn't say if the Son of Man shall come, but when. And when he comes a second time, he will come in his glory. In his first coming, remember, children, in Bethlehem, he came in humiliation. He came so low. He came to a stable. There was no majesty and glory about his first coming. Oh, there is with the eyes of faith, I don't deny that. But in his second coming, he will come in glory. His first coming was he came to save. And to that end, he suffered. And to that end, he was mocked. And he allowed a crown of thorns to be placed on his head. He was brought before earthly judges, Caiaphas, Pilate, Herod, who did with him what they wanted. But the day is coming when the tables will be turned. He will be the judge. And he will come in glory and majesty. And all the holy angels with him. One day. Young people, you will see it. You will look. Maybe you'll be standing by the kitchen window. And you will see it. And you will look. Jesus in his glory coming. And all the angels with him. And he shall sit on the throne of his glory. And then it says in verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Not a single nation will be forgotten. Not a single nation will be excused. And then some say that they will come as nations before the judgment throne. Nations that had less privileges maybe. Nations that had less light maybe. Other nations that had greater privileges and had greater light. Jesus tells us the Ninevites will rise up in judgment in that day. The people of Sodom will rise up in judgment at that day. The people of the United States will rise in judgment at that day. The people of Canada will rise in judgment on that day. The people of Ontario will be called. The community of St. George will be called. No community, no province, no nation will be left out. No person will be missing. Everyone will be there. You will be there. I will be there. And then we're told, verse 32, that the Lord Jesus shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And the sheep will be set on the right hand and the goats on the left hand. Sheep, goats. How often does the Lord not compare his people to sheep? Sheep who, as you know, are animals that cannot survive without a shepherd. Sheep who cannot fight. They can't protect themselves. And on top of that, they can't flee. They're not fast creatures. They can't escape danger at all. They don't know how to. And they can't find. Where will a sheep end up if they don't have a shepherd that seeks them out and that leads them and that feeds them and that causes them to lie down? Without a shepherd that calls them and puts them on his shoulder to bring them to the fold. But goats, on the other hand, have more strength. Goats have horns. Goats are not so dependent on a shepherd. Goats often leave behind a path of destruction. Goats try to dominate the sheep. You see, before the second coming of the Lord Jesus, the sheep and goats are not separated. The church is made up of sheep and goats, but the day of separation is coming. Here the goats can make it look like they belong to the flock of the Lord Jesus. And how much damage the goats can do in a church. But the day of separation is coming. The Lord Jesus will separate them as a shepherd does. The time is coming when he'll separate the sheep from the goats. And then you see that one of the lessons that we can learn, besides the fact that the church here consists of sheep and goats, but the separation is coming, it also says that there are only two groups of people. Everyone will fit into one of these two groups. People who are now members of the same family. People who now work in the same office. People who sit in the same pew will be in one of these two groups. There is no third group. There is no alternative. There are only sheep and goats. Which one are you? And on that day, there will be husbands separated from their wives. And parents will be separated from their children. Oh, it's true. There will also be husbands and wives together. And there will be parents and children together who, by the grace of God, have become sheep of the great shepherd. And that's something to seek for, isn't that, parents? That you might be undivided in the service of God below and above. And then the Lord Jesus will speak to the sheep on the right hand, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, and then they may hear wonderful things. First they may hear him say, come. Come. And that voice his sheep will recognize, for it's the voice of him who has come to them in the gospel. And it's the one who has called them in his grace and has said, come unto me. And by the Holy Spirit, they could not stay away. And the time came when they were drawn to him, maybe weak and wounded, maybe trembling and fearing, but they came by faith to Jesus. They came like a sheep in the Old Testament, like David came, crying, have mercy upon me, O God, and pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. But they came to shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, the one who gave his life for the sheep. It's true. They've often wandered. Is that not true for you, dear child of God? Often strayed. And that's why you needed the voice of the shepherd calling you again, drawn and picked up to his shoulders again. But they've come in faith, and now they may hear him say again, come, ye blessed of the Father. Don't you think those are surprising words? Blessed of the Father? For what is it that God's people have discovered? Isn't it that they have come to see that they don't deserve the blessing of the Father? They see that they deserve the curse of the Father, because cursed is everyone, Galatians says, who continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And they have transgressed the law of God, and they deserve the curse, but the Father has set his love upon them, and the Father of all mercies has blessed them with spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And Christ is the one who bore the curse on the cross for them, and they may be blessed through his pierced hands. Come, ye blessed of the Father. And then they may hear too, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit the heavenly kingdom. Well, they may have had their losses here below. They may have lost much on earth for following the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Hebrew Christians in the New Testament and other Christians too who have been persecuted for their faith. The world shuts them out. But on that day, the world will lose everything and have nothing. The world will not even have a drop wherewith they can cool their tongue, but these sheep may receive an inheritance, as Peter will say, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then the king says something more. that they're surprised to hear. Verse 35 to 40. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. And when the Lord Jesus says this, and when we hear this, he is not saying that this is the basis of their justification, and this is the basis for heaven being open to them. No, that basis lies alone in the Lord Jesus. This is not the basis of their justification, but the proof of their justification. It's not the foundation of their acceptance, but the fruit of their acceptance in grace. After all, did you notice they're surprised? They're astonished. They hadn't done it in order to merit anything. And then you see the Lord Jesus is sketching their character. He's given them a new heart by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and out of love they've come to feed and care for some of the least of God's children. They've gone visiting them. Seen to it that they are clothed. And Jesus identifies with his people, just like he said to Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting the people of God. Then Jesus said to him, as the exalted Christ on the road to Damascus, when you touch them, Saul, you're touching me. When you persecute them, you're persecuting me. But if you fed them, and if you visited them, you did it to me. That's the one thing the Lord Jesus will say on that day to his sheep. But he will also say something else to those on his left hand. Verse 41, depart. It's a strong word, but it should not be a surprising word, for that's what they said to the Lord Jesus. When they came under the preaching of the gospel and they heard of the Lord Jesus and the salvation that's in Christ, then they said it in the words of Job 21, verse 14, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. They maybe listened in church, but they shrugged their shoulders and went their own way. They kept their distance. They had no need. They never fled for refuge. That's what the Lord Jesus is describing. They, depart has been their own language. Young people, do you realize that there's nothing worse than pushing the Lord Jesus away? To say, go away, leave me to my life alone without Jesus. And those who have kept saying that in the day of grace will hear it from his lips then, depart from me, ye cursed. Not just because they disobeyed the law, but because they disobeyed the gospel. I mean, that's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. There he also is referring to Jesus coming back on the clouds of heaven, and when he returns from heaven, then it says this, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Who are they? Who is he describing on whom he'll take vengeance? On them who know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just that they never heard the gospel. It's not just that they don't know the gospel. It's one thing that seals their condemnation. They have not obeyed it by faith. They sat under the word. The Lord Jesus came to them, but they said, not now, later, maybe. Not today. I've got other plans. Maybe later. And they postpone their salvation and they don't obey. Or maybe they presume. They say, well, of course. Yes, of course I'm a child of God. But there never came the act or exercise of faith and repentance in their life worked by the Holy Spirit. And they remained rebels. not just of the law, but of the gospel. Is that what must be said of you? You have not obeyed. And you see, if that how it ends in your life, then the Lord will send you into everlasting fire. That's what Jesus says. He preached most on hell, more than anyone else. Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Fire, boys and girls. But it will never go out. Everlasting fire. I don't know about you, but when I put my finger, as a child anyways, into the candle of a flame, then it's pretty quick that I removed my finger out of that candle flame. Everlasting fire. And you'll be in the company of the devils and his angels. What a terrible end. What companions you'll have in hell if you remain unconverted and unbelieving. And then the Lord Jesus explains, by their lives, I was a-hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Do you see what they kept saying? To Christ and to others, they kept saying no. In the face of their own salvation, they said no. In the face of the needs of others, they said no. And the Lord Jesus says, you kept saying no to me. And did you notice that this crowd of people are surprised too? They didn't expect this answer. And in their response, there is no humility, and it shows that they're still full of rebellion. They're ready to argue at judgment seat. Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? But the Lord Jesus remained a stranger to them. To them he was not someone worthy to be trusted, worthy to be loved. They remain blind to Christ and blind to the family of Christ, taken up with themselves, self-absorbed, still filled with enmity to Christ, and that's why they must depart. After all, what would they do in heaven? They don't love God. They don't love Christ. They don't love the praises of Christ, and they don't love the good of God's people. And having said no to him, that judgment day he says no to them. Having said depart to him, in the day of grace he says depart to them on the day of judgment. Friends, what will he say to you and me? We're coming closer to that day. We all will come before the judgment's throne. The line will move. A step closer will be taken. The one is sent to the left, the other to the right. You'll come nearer and nearer and stand before him. And what will it be? To the left or to the right? With the goats or with the sheep? There will be those who thought that they belonged to the sheep, but they'll be set to the left with the goats because they never took refuge to Christ. They never came to love him. They still love the world. And just like Lot's wife, they'll perish, having had so many privileges, but they were never delivered from the love of sin and the love of the world. Yes, those who thought that they belonged to the sheep will be set on the left with the goats, and there will also be those who feared maybe till their dying breath that they belong to the goats, but they'll find themselves among the sheep because they did take refuge in all their need to the Lord Jesus Christ, even while they lacked light and the assurance of faith and all a miracle of sovereign grace. Where will you be? On the left or on the right? I know in our land, if you are arrested and taken to court to face up to a crime and you receive a sentence, but if you believe the sentence is not fair or accurate, you can appeal it and you can try to get a lesser sentence or even try to get off, but on the last day there will be no appeal court. A sentence will be irreversible. Yes, the wicked may try to argue, but their doom will be sealed. But today, the Lord Jesus still comes and He still says to rebel sinners and to wicked sinners, to sinners who up till now have pushed Him away, who have said, depart from me, or who have been content to show a little bit of outward religion, to pray some prayers, to go to church, to read a little bit of the Bible, but who have remained attached to their sin. Today, He comes with the gospel. He still calls, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you can find them to be washed away and made white as snow. Come, there's mercy in Christ. Come to Him who has pardon full and free. You see, while He proffers peace and pardon, let us hear His voice today, lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. Maybe someone says, but Pastor, that's precisely my problem. I find myself so incapable of coming. I can't come. You know, that won't be an excuse on Judgment Day that will get you off the hook. But do you know what you can ask? You can ask this Lord who invites you to also draw you, to give you legs to come to Him. He has a drawing power. He has grace to show. He can draw sinners who were the farthest off and bring them nigh by the blood of the Lamb. He suffered the just for the unjust that He might bring us to God. And then, if you take refuge to Him, you'll also begin to look for His second coming, our third point, a seeking His coming. And then I refer you to our catechism. And question and answer 52 begins, what comfort is it to you that Christ shall come again to judge the living and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecutions with uplifted head, I look for the very same person to come as judge from heaven. You see, that's what marks the people of God, if it is right. It's true. They're speaking about sorrows here and persecutions. How many sorrows can there not be in the lives of believers? Maybe that's how it is for you now. Maybe you are in the midst of great trouble, sorrow, and difficulty, in that sickness maybe, or in that trial in your marriage and in your home and in the temptations that you feel in the midst of the world. And God's children may have times when their heads hang down and they're discouraged. They're troubled. But the Lord, you see, wants to lift the head of God's people up. In all the signs of the times which announce He's coming again, the Lord Jesus keeps saying, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. And He's willing to make you look with eyes of faith. As someone says, but Pastor, I believe the Lord has been gracious to me. And there have been times that I know myself to have come under the shepherd's love. But there are also times when I can be so afraid when I hear of Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven. Indeed. And when do you have that? Isn't it also times when you feel so lukewarm in your religion and it's so formal, but you miss the liveliness of faith and you miss the Lord? Or maybe you've fallen into sin and you've backslidden in your Christian walk. Or maybe someone else says, but Pastor, you do need to know that it is well with your soul, and I can't say that. And maybe someone else says, and Pastor, and when I think of how wicked my life has been and how much pain I have caused the lives of others, how much I've shown myself to be like a goat at times and not a sheep. And how can I be a sheep? The Lord knows how to change a goat into a sheep. He knows how to make a Pharisee into a publican. He knows how to take a Saul of Tarsus, a goat at one time, and bring him down to become like a poor and needy sheep asking for mercy. He knows how to take a Zacchaeus, a goat who caused so much harm, and make him into a sheep, a humble, penitent sheep. You see, none of those who come to the right hand of the judgment are sheep in and of themselves, but they become sheep. They've been made needy sheep. Their nature has been changed. And they've come to hear His voice with the saving interest. And they've been drawn to Him. And where does the shepherd bring them? To the cross. That's where they deserve to perish. That's where they deserve to bear the curse. But the shepherd gave Himself to be the Lamb. The Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came before His earthly judges, and He came before His heavenly judge. And the Father took the iniquity of His guilty people and laid it upon His Son. And Jesus went to the cross to bear the curse and to pay the penalty of sin. And now He calls sinners like you and me and says, this is how it can be well with you. Because I've taken the everlasting fire that you deserve upon Myself. And then stripped of all your righteousness, full of guilt and shame, you may take refuge to His blood. You may do that for the first time and again. You see, this judge who's coming is now also the Savior. And isn't that what the angels said to the disciples by the Mount of Olives when they had just seen the Lord Jesus go up into heaven? The angel said, this same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Did you hear that? He's still the same Jesus. The same Jesus that pardoned them. The same Jesus that was patient with them. The same Jesus who will preserve them. This same Jesus who receives sinners. That's what Mary Magdalene found, didn't she? When she was crying there in the garden and she heard His voice. Mary recognized it's the same Jesus, Rabboni. The same Jesus who sought her out. The same Jesus who bought her. The same Jesus who drew her. The same Jesus. Or as Peter could say, yes, the Lord Jesus is my judge, but He's also my advocate. And when I look back over my life and see the ways in which I have sinned against Him and even denied Him like Peter, but He has prayed for me. And that's why I look in all my sorrows and also the sorrow of my sin for this same Jesus, because my judge is also my advocate. But what if you don't know Him as advocate? The story is told of a man who had committed a crime. And when the prosecutor charged him, then he went to look for a man who he knew had been an advocate, a defense lawyer. But the day he visited this defense lawyer, the advocate had suddenly been promoted to judge. And this defense lawyer turned judge said to this man, yesterday you could have called me and I would have defended you. But today I'm nothing but your judge. That's what Christ will say on the day of judgment to those who never sought mercy in Him. Yesterday I could have been your advocate. But today I'm only your judge. Oh, why not plead with Him that He would be made your advocate and find what the murderer on the cross found, that man who had scoffed, who had mocked the Lord Jesus until His 11th hour of His life, but he grew silent. Up till then, the Lord Jesus had never been his advocate, nothing but his judge. But he was changed to seek for mercy in this advocate and found Jesus to be his advocate. And the other murderer on the cross had no advocate when he came before the great judgment throne. You who are still unconverted, plead for it. You who are still unbelieving, who are without love for the Lord Jesus, who still are attached to the world so much and you can't set yourself free, go on your knees and plead that you would be made a sheep of this shepherd's fold, that you might know him and know his voice and follow him. And you, dear child of God, keep short accounts. Visit the advocate often. Ask the shepherd to come and visit you, to give you grace to come to him daily. Beware of half-hearted religion. Beware of dead faith. Beware of pride. Beware of false humility. Beware of self-righteousness. Many goats have had that. Dead faith, pride, false humility. But they'll here depart. Only those who hide in the wounds of the shepherd and advocate will be safe. They will hear, come. Yes, happy are those who have this Jesus as their shepherd and advocate, who can live and die saying, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.